welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll keep adding people in as they come along. But I have to say, let's get. I know this is not going to be half an hour, right? I'm going to put it out there right here, right now, that this is going to be longer than half an hour. If any of you do have other things that you're already committed to, please, please, it's my fault. I should have made it an hour, knowing who our guest is. But we will be recording. This is being recorded as we speak. So let's get kicked off, or else we'll be here till doomsday. It's my great pleasure, honest, I cannot tell you how excited I am to introduce you to Dr. Paul Batman, who's going to talk to us today about reframing the exercise message. We're going to listen to his backstory. We're going to talk about these things called METs. We're going to see where he, yeah, I know all about it now. I know what it means, but I'll pretend I don't. And we're going to talk also about why we need to reframe the message, and his amazing work that he's doing with our partners, Referral, and Rachel Stokes is here to listen to. So shall we get kicked off? Yeah. Welcome, everybody, and a massive welcome to Paul. And I have to say, Paul's in Sydney. So he's actually, have you got your pajama bottoms on, Paul?
Oh, you don't want to know, Lynn.
Oh.
You'll be
Have you got a glass of
sitting here in my
red
underpants.
wine?
You'll never
Oh,
know.
sure. Glass of red in your right hand. Right. Tell everybody your backstory. Tell everybody your history, because it's fascinating.
Oh, I don't know if it's that fascinating, Lynn. Well, basically, without going too far back, I started off as a phys ed teacher. Then decided I wanted to know a little bit more. So I went to the States and studied, and then came home back to Australia, did a little bit more. And then I spent 20 years in the university system. And the last 15 years or so, I had my own business, which we call a registered training organization, where we used to run vocational education. But I often tell people that this is my 50th year in fitness. So it's been an interesting journey, and I'm just so appreciative of the fact that I could make a living out of it for 50 years. But interestingly, I figured I see there are two parts to my career, and one was the first 38 years that I spent at universities doing research, reading, and doing heaps of other stuff. And I spent the last 12 years, I always talk about, I joined life. So I went out there to actually see a lot of these things that I'd heard in the past and tried to make contact with people and live with groups that actually integrated physical activity into their lives, which is different from us, where we've had physical activity engineered out of our lives. And so I think I learned more in the last 12 years than what I did in the previous 38 years. And in that time too, I guess I started suffering the consequences of aging, which was kind of interesting because, I read the latest WHO information about what 65-year-old people should be doing. And there's not too many people I know above that age group that can do 75 to 90 minutes of vigorous exercise per week at 9 METs. Given that 80% of people over that have at least one to two chronic conditions. So I think that's part of my quest to find a new message is that the guidelines that we've had, I don't think apply to the majority of the population. So that's kind of where I've come from. Those two little things have sort of shaped my ideas. And to be quite frank with you, I've changed considerably from my, even 10, 15 years ago, my attitude toward physical activity. Boy, has it changed considerably. So I just want to share that information, and people can make up their own mind as to whether they want to go this additional route. This is not to say we should replace what we've got. It's just offering something additional.
Yeah, I love that. So these METs, what the hell are they? What is
What's a
this?
met?
What's a MET minute?
Yeah. A
Yeah.
met minute. God, I always say I've never met a met I didn't like. Okay. So the idea of a met is, at the moment, we don't really have any units of measurement. We do a class, or we do physical activities, and the way we measure intensity is basically through heart rate, or we do it through rating of perceived exertion. There's lots of fancy ways of doing it with percentage of VO2 max and things like that, but we don't have access to that type of thing. So what I wanted to do is that in all the research that's ever been produced on physical activity, they don't talk about heart rate. They don't talk about RPE. They talk about METs. They talk about METs and MET minutes. And what it is METs is really a volume of exercise of oxygen cost or energy expenditure. For example, we're all sitting here now and we're in a relaxed state. So Every kilogram of body weight that we own or we have requires 1 met, and 1 met is a metabolic equivalent. It's equivalent to 3.5 mils of oxygen per kilogram of body weight. Now, if you go down to McDonald's after this and you eat a double beef and bacon burger, and some of it gets caught in your throat and you choke, you don't die from choking. You die from not paying your oxygen cost because air can't get in. So for you to live where you are at the moment, you need 1 met, 3.5 mils of oxygen for every kilogram of body weight you have for all of your cells to function correctly. Now, the time that you cannot pay that toll is the time that you go to the hereafter. You die from whatever. If you have a heart attack, the heart stops beating. It stops beating because it stops blood flow, which carries oxygen, which stops you paying your met. So basically, mets, the meaning of life, really, oxygen is the meaning of life. Mets are just the way we measure it. Now, in the past, if people have had tests done at universities or been part of research projects, they'll be put on a treadmill with a Rudolph valve, a gas analysis in their mouth, and they'll be asked to exercise. And as they exercise, the person who's conducting the test will measure how much oxygen is being utilized. And at the end of it, you get a VO2 max value. Now, I'm sure everyone's heard of VO2 max. Basically, that's the maximum amount of oxygen that your body can use. And that's become even more important now because a lot of the research says your mortality rates are based on your VO2 max. But that VO2 max can be generally 25 mils of oxygen per kilogram of body weight. But if it was 25, we could divide it by 3.5. We'd say, oh, it's 6 mets or 7 mets or 5 mets. So we can say you're exercising on a treadmill, you're walking at 5 kilometers an hour, that's 3.5 mets. Now, if you go to the gym and you jump on a piece of cardio equipment, you'll see mets come up. Mets will actually tell you, say, oh, you've done 5 mets. No one knows what it is. It just means that you're exercising at 5 times your resting energy expenditure. So our mets now is 1. If we got up and danced around, it could be 3. If we jumped on a treadmill and ran at 6 kilometers an hour, it would be 8 or 9. So a met really is a measure of oxygen. Now, it's only ever been used in testing, and it's only ever been used in all research papers. If you read a research paper that evaluates effectiveness of physical activity, always mets, always met minutes. There's, excuse me, a compendium called the Compendium of Mets, which came out from the American College of Sports Medicine. And it has actually measured the oxygen cost of 600 different activities. So you can walk at a certain speed and it'll tell you how many mets. You can run at a certain speed. You can ride a bike. You can take the dog for a walk. You can wash the floor. You can scrub the bathroom. Each and everything has a mets for this reason, that you have to consume oxygen to burn fuel. That fuel then, as you burn it, remakes ATP, and ATP is split that allows your muscle to contract. So there's actually a sequence of events that occurs. So if you're sitting here now where we're doing nothing, we only need 1 met. So we need 3.5 mils of oxygen to burn enough fuel to release enough energy to remake enough ATP for us to sit. But tomorrow, if we get up and we go to a spin class, all of a sudden we're going to be exercising at 8 times what we're doing at the moment. The muscles will be contracting really hard. And what we will have to do is our heart will have to beat faster. We will have to consume more air and we'll have to pay a bigger met toll. So we will be asking our body somehow to get 8 times our resting energy expenditure or oxygen whilst we're doing that spin class. Because imagine as you're in that spin class going really hard, you have to burn more fuel. If you're going to burn more fuel, you've got to consume more oxygen. And then you've got to release more energy. Then you've got to remake more ATP, and then that allows the muscle to contract as fast and as long as what you want. So mets really are really, really important. The trouble is the concept of mets is never filtered down to the trenches. So no one knows about mets. You go and talk to people in fitness and they ask about mets, and oh, it's something that's on the cardio machine. So what I wanted to do was when I suddenly realized that the exercise is medicine model that we use at the moment is not working. The WHO have just come up and said that if we do not do something now, inactivity levels are 27%, 27.4% globally. By 2030, they'll be 31%. Now, they said 5 years ago that they wanted to reduce it by 15%, but now it's almost doubled. Now, that tells you that the exercise is medicine model that we all use. Everyone's aware of what they have to do, but it's not motivating enough for people to do it. So that message tells me it's really good if you've got a chronic condition or it's a medically prescribed exercise prescription. But if it's for well-being, I don't think it cuts the mustard. I think we need something else. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, my new message is that people initially should go out and do what they want, pick an activity, do it for as long as they want, do it for as hard as they want, all right, and do it with whom they want and where they want to do it. So I'm talking about self-paced. You choose what you want to do. But if I said that to anyone, they would hound me. I'd get rude emails saying, well, yeah, this is too stupid. It can't happen. So I tried to change the concept of it such that what would happen if we could measure METs? What would happen if we could take a heart rate, which we all do? We've all got our Polar or whatever, you know, our Apple Watch or whatever it might be. What if we could convert that heart rate to a MET? Because basically the reason why you do heart rates is the heart rates go up as the intensity goes up, and that just reflects your MET value, your oxygen cost. But because we don't have a valve on our mouth and we can't directly measure the oxygen, we forget about it. But we now have an algorithm, a series of calculations that will allow you to put in your average heart rate for 20 or 30 minutes. That will convert the heart rate to a MET. That MET will take into account you, your body type, your age, height, weight, BMI, etc. And that will then give you a personalized MET. Now, when I say that, I get so excited. My heart rate's pounding like crazy now because I'm so excited about that. The hair on my back is bristling. It would normally be on my head, but I'm losing it. So that's so incredible. If we could get a heart rate that measured a MET, that means that everything we did in every single gym and every single leisure facility, if we could talk the same language, then we could start to monitor things. So what we do is we do the heart rate. It tells us how much oxygen we're using at that heart rate, which is what we want to know. Never been done before. Let's pick a number, 4 METs. I do it for 30 minutes. My workload now is 4 times 30, which is 120 MET minutes. Make sense? 120 MET minutes. You're going to say, yeah, that's great, but where does that lead? Well, I went back and I did a meta-analysis and I looked at how many MET minutes is required for all things that we do. For example, at the moment, we're told that if we exercise between 60 and 85% of our maximum heart rate, we will get everything. Now, to me, that does nothing for fitness. It does nothing for exercise or physical activity for health. That's a range. Now, that range for general people can be 70 beats. That's huge. That's not specific. So through this analysis, I found out this, that if you want to improve your mental health, which is the topic that we're talking about, for example, if we want to reduce our anxiety and we want to reduce our depression, we don't have to do 70 to 85%, 60 to 85% maximum heart. We need to do between 400 and 600 MET minutes. So let's use that example. We need, for me, I've had PTSD, so I've done this myself. So I'm not talking at the top of my head. I've actually used this concept. So what happens is that if you were to go in and choose any activity at any intensity for any duration with any person, any venue, and I said to you, Lynn, this week, you need to show me between 450 to 600 MET minutes. So each day you do your thing, you know, your husband says, or you tell your husband to clean the house. So he goes and cleans the house for 30 minutes. He does it at 4 METs. That's 120 MET minutes. That's 120 he's already done. He needs to do 450 to 600. The next day does the same thing. Now he's got 280. He does it the next day. So now he's got 360. So after he's done it for 5 days, he's got 600 MET minutes. He's now done the volume of work required for things to happen within his body that will allow his mental health via depression and anxiety to improve. Now, that just excites me. The other thing is that we have this table now, this really great table we call MetRx Health Zone Table. And what it does is that we say, okay, you come to me, what do you want to do? Well, I want to improve my cardiovascular health. So I say, okay, you need to do between 600 and 1200 MET minutes. Now, I've got the evidence to show that that's the volume you need to do. You go, okay, but then you come, no one, someone else comes in and says, look, I'm an accountant. I sit at a desk all day for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, and I don't do anything. I say to them, you need to do 1200 to 1500 MET minutes to mitigate all the problems that you're going to have with sitting, and you can do it All day you can do it, part of the day you can do whatever you like, providing you show me over the course of a week between 12 and 1500 minutes. But then someone comes in and says, look, I just want to do a bit of exercise to control my weight. Well, I look up the evidence and I've got all the articles together. And I say, you've got to do between 1500 and 2000 minutes. So you do whatever you like. But at the end of the day, you or end of the week, you have to show me 1500 to 2000 minutes. Now, how are you going to do that? Every activity you do, washing the car, washing the floor, going for a walk, walking the dog, going to anything in the gym, you just record your heart rate. You take an average of it for the duration that you do it for. You plug it in. So you enter 125 beats per minute, did it for 30 minutes. The algorithm will spew out your met minutes. That's all you need to know. And then you just keep tabs of your met minutes until it reaches 2000. Now, I like this because we control it and monitor it by the met minutes. The evidence suggests that if you keep within that range, it's correct, but it's self-paced. And the reality is that you're only going to do something if you're going to sustain it. You have to enjoy it and you have to have pleasure in it and you have to get it in the minute or in the moment. I just had, I'll tell you, I had prostate cancer a little while ago and I had to go through this this program for it. And I went and did it, but at the end of it, after 12 weeks, it was a fantastic program. Three quarters of the guys dropped out. Now, if death isn't the thing that motivates you to do it, and after 12 weeks, you're not going to do it because you can't be bothered, it doesn't fit into your life. That's got to tell you something about the exercise as medicine model. It's great if it's supervised, but it can't be sustained. So I got some of those guys who said, well, let's just do met minutes. So half a dozen of them have gone met minutes. So we have to do 2,000 to 3,000 met minutes a week. And I say to them, do what you want. At the end of the week, show me 3,000 met minutes. And it's working well. So this is what I'm saying. My new message is do what you want, when you want, at the intensity you want, but you must have a goal. Is it mental health? Is it cardiovascular metabolic? Is it you sit too long? I'll call that mitigation. Is it weight management? Or do you have a chronic disease? And when you look at chronic diseases, people say they give you a heart rate. Every disease is different. It's like a sport. Everything is specific. If you're a sprinter, you don't run like a marathoner. If you're a marathoner, you don't like a sprinter. So all diseases are different. If you've got breast cancer, it's different from prostate cancer. It's different from bowel cancer. It's different from ischemic heart disease. All of those require different met minutes. How good would it be if we could get people and say, I've got prostate cancer, so I've got to do 2,000 to 3,000 met minutes. I know I can do what I want. At the end of the week, I just got to show that because I know that that's going to do it. How do I know that? Because this is all based on one thing. Too much of what we do now is intensity based. All right. It's go hard or go home. You don't need to do it. As I said, over 65, 80% have one to two chronic conditions, can't do it anyway. So we forget about them. But if we do this sort of this concept of it, we can get more people involved in the whole exercise concept of it. So we're just reframing the message, giving them a workload, and then working through it. But it's based on this. A good friend of mine is a lead researcher in oncology at University of, at Edith Cowan University, and he's pumped out heaps of different articles on prostate cancer and exercise. His father died of prostate cancer, so it's been his life's journey, basically. And his stuff is just mind-boggling. And he bases it on the fact that the key thing that we always look for in any sort of well-being is that we don't need to go hard and fast. We need to contract the muscle for as long as we can, for as many hours as we can during the course of a day, because that's what our body has been designed to do. So if we do that and we just get lots and lots of contractions, as it goes down the line of the muscle contraction, it releases these myokines or exokines, whatever you want to call them. There are 600 of them, and they affect every tissue in the body. Now, to me, that's common sense. If we can just keep people contracting muscles, it doesn't matter what they do to do it. They can work in the garden. They can go for a ride. They can play with their grandkids. Most of my met minutes is playing soccer with my grandson. So that's as good a workout as I get. So it just makes it more applicable. It makes it so that people can reach it. They can choose to do it. We do things because we want to do them. Do things because you like to do them and you choose to do them, not because someone's standing over you to do them. And as I said, my prostate mates, they all dropped out for that same reason. So we got to change it. And I'm saying, I've got 10 pillars that my new message that's functioning on. I never say anything unless I have the evidence to support it. And with the help of Rach, who is going to be my new adopted daughter, and also Stu, they're unbelievable. They're supporting this whole concept. So we're trying to build this so that we can hit a button. The button says, put your heart rate in, put your duration in, and you come up with minutes. Never been done in fitness or physical activity before. Been done in testing and in labs for 100 years. So I'm excited, but I think we could do something really special with this. But anyway, I'll get off my
Right.
soapbox.
Okay. So you've just answered all of the questions that I was going to ask you without even
So you
having to
know
open
me, I
my
just can't
mouth.
stop. Once
No.
I can talk with a mouthful of marble sand on my head, Lynn, you know that.
No, it's good. No, it's good. It meant I could just sit and listen instead of having to think about what I'm going to say next. You did talk to me, and I think because this was mind-blowing to me, an example of when we were in COVID. And we were doing our online shopping, and some of us still do. In
Oh,
fact, I'm going
yeah.
to actually probably cancel my Ocado registration after speaking to you. The difference, the actual difference, you worked out the difference about doing an online shop and a physical shop, and it was pretty
Yeah, it's pretty
drastically
mind-boggling. Yeah,
positive, wasn't it?
I didn't even think it'd be that bad because yeah, I did the same thing. I like did everyone. I kind of liked it too, so I thought this is great. I'm going to keep doing it until I sat down and played with my Met Minutes. Because one of the really good things with Met Minutes is that once you know Met Minutes, you can calculate your energy expenditure from it. It's a simple calculation. And so Rach and me and Stu and Jerry, we're going to have something where people will go, there's the average heart rate. It'll throw out your METs. It'll throw out personalized METs only for you, for no one else. That's specificity. Met minutes, that's your workload, comparison to the table, and your energy expenditure for that activity. So what I did was I used those concepts. And generally, when I go shopping, which I got to be honest with you, lucky my wife's not here, she would probably tell you otherwise. I go shopping twice a week, every week. Would you believe that? No, I don't, because I don't. But I did it this time just to work out METs. So what I found is that it would take me about 90 minutes. By the time I drove from my house, I went to the shops. I got out of the, and I usually park further away, like everyone says you should. And I walk, and then I go into the shopping. I get a trolley. I put everything in it, and then go and do the usual thing. I come back. I pack it in the bags because, obviously you pack it in yourself. And then I carry it. I never use the trolley really. I carry it back to where I was. I then drive home. I then have to walk up 15 steps, and I've got to walk down heaps of steps. I go downstairs. I put the goods on the table, then I have to pull them all apart. Then I've got to put them in the fridge, pack it up, get all the rubbish, and take it out. Now, I calculated that took me, that was about 90 minutes. And I worked when I did that about four times resting energy expenditure, which was four METs. So four times 90 was 360 MET minutes. Now, that 360 MET minutes is equivalent to walking 5 kilometers an hour for about 50 minutes. So it's kind of interesting. The beauty of METs is you can start comparing against other types of activities. So I did that twice a week. And in the end, I worked out that with the energy expenditure, there were 982 calories that I used that week shopping twice a week. 982 calories, which is a lot when you think about it. And then I did the online thing, which I do once a week. So I sat there for 45 minutes and did this. And then when it came, I had 15 minutes to go and get it because it was delivered to the door and drove down. And I just got to look, remember what it was. When I did all that, that was 105 MET minutes and worked out to be about 144 calories. So here's the difference. When I go shopping twice a week, I burn 982 calories. When I'm at home and I do online shopping, I burn 143 point something calories. The deficit is about 615 calories. Now, I calculated that 615 calories is about 3,400 calories a month, which is about 40,000 calories a year, which means that if I did that over a year, I would put on 5.4 kilograms. And that's just by online shopping. So it's just what this is why I like METs. I can look at all activities in the gym and I can compare every one of them now. Sometimes we see people they'll say, I exercise at a heart rate and they give you a number. That's not an evidence-based number, that's an arbitrary number. 4, 6, 10, whatever it might be. It doesn't mean anything. This has a meaning. Mets is you. It's very personalized. It's your oxygen cost. It's based on your age, your weight, your BMI, everything. So to me, it's a no-brainer. If we can get this happening and we get it accepted, we all talk the same language. And what we can then do, we can apply it to the research, and the research can apply it to us, because the research on Mets has never ever filtered down into the clubs or into the anywhere, and even in the sporting activities, it hasn't. It gets lost in research papers. So my aim is to broaden it, bring it out. Let's see what we can do with it. And just through referral, this is only happening because of their involvement. I can't do this by myself. All
And that's
right.
amazing for us because obviously
So.
this is fantastic for MH1 and our mental health questionnaire because we'll be working very, very closely with yourself and our partners' referral, especially on the mental health side of it. I mean, it excites Paula and myself so much that we will have for us. It's another thing for our toolbox when we're training our advisors up, you know, in terms of helping people to be more active, to help them with their mental well-being. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal tool. So, and again, you know, to see our partners working together is just fantastic. And when are we going to see this kind of
You got to
happen,
talk to
Rachel?
the
Paul?
boss. I'm only the
Rachel?
messenger. You got to talk to the boss.
Is it imminent? Are we nearly there?
We're very close.
Very close. Oh, okay. Well, that's not a very good measurement, is it? Very close. Oh,
It's not been researched, evidence-based yet, the very close. We're almost there with the very close. That's
brilliant. And honestly, we can't wait to hear about it. And I know there was a reason that we asked you to be on our advisory board, Paul. And you know, we're so grateful. Why did you decide that you would? What made you think, go on?
too big a question, Lynn. As I said before, I had PTSD in 2012, but one of the ways I got over that was through the exercise itself. I didn't really at the time understand how it all worked, but then I learned heaps from that, and the exercise really got my head together. And then I started doing trekking stuff. So I love going on multi-day treks. So I go away for 3 weeks, and my wife thought it was fantastic, that I discovered this. But as I went, I started seeing that my mental health really improved dramatically. And then in 2015, when I came back from one of the walks, I fell over and I damaged my back, and I had to get a laminectomy done and a spinal fusion decompression thing. And the doctor told me I had coronary artery disease. And I'm 60 or whatever it is. And I said, that's rubbish. I won't tell you what I told him. I said, all these years I've been teaching people about exercise, and now I've got it. I have no risk factors. This is wrong. You're rubbish. Show me the evidence. Anyway, he showed me the evidence, and I was wrong, and he was right. And I thought, wow, I need to really look at what I've been telling people, because I don't have any risk factors as such, even though I had the odd red wine at Loughborough. But nevertheless, well, maybe a bit more than the odd, but I didn't have any risk factors. Anyway, the cardiologist was so interested in it. He said, we did a paper together, and we looked at excessive exercise. And Joan and Teresa know about this because I did a thing for them on one of the white papers, and found that a lot of the problems that I had, I came up through an era of no pain, no gain, just do it, then spew it. So you just exercise as hard as you could for as long as you could. I ran a marathon every year for 30 years because I was told when I was young that would not give me heart disease. Anyway, the whole concept of the exercise prescription thing started to change dramatically because people are still doing these excessive amounts of exercise with limited recovery. Anyway, when that happened, my mental health spiraled again because all of a sudden I'm an imposter. For 20, 30 years, I'm telling people to do something, and I'm the least person that should be telling them, because it's actually happening to me. So I thought, oh, this is not good. So then I started realizing excessive exercise. You got to go low to moderate. It's low to moderate. It's breaking up during the day. It's not sitting. These are key things that people don't even do in the fitness now at the moment. Because fitness has assumed the mantle of making people more active, and I love it. And all my best friends are in fitness. I'm not being rude when I say this, but I don't think we're doing it. I think we're doing it for certain groups, but not doing it for the majority. So my mental health spiraled again. I thought, oh, what's going on here? Anyway, went for more walks, gone under, I got it under control. Once I could understand it, I was okay. But then I took my grandson to one of the theme parks, and he got in a dodging car and went off by himself. So he's this little three-year-old kid running off in a dodging car. So I raced after him and jumped in to try and control it, because he's heading to crash into someone, and I twisted my knee. So then I said, here we go. So I went and got an x-ray, and they said, you've got osteoarthritis. I said, I can't have osteoarthritis. I've been exercising all my life. And they go, no, you need more than a knee. You need to have a knee replacement. I go, what? I've had a knee replacement. So I had PTSD. I then had heart disease. And then I had osteoarthritis. I'm saying, what's going wrong here? None of this is not supposed to happen to me. It happens to other people. Anyway, fortunately, when I had the knee, I had to go and get a blood test. When I had the blood test, they weren't going to do it because they found that I had stage 3 prostate cancer on top of it. So they said, what the? I said, I've been telling people you do this, it won't happen to you. And so my reason why I'm so interested in it is that I think people, my story is the same as everyone else. Everyone has things that they have to deal with along their way. And each one sometimes compounds the next one and so on. But there has to be a way of coping with it without expensive psychiatrists, psychologists, which sometimes work, sometimes don't work, all the medication under the sun that you have to take because it ends up making you more like zombie-like than anything else. It fixes the symptom, but it doesn't fix the problem. And I honestly think that the only way that we can, and this is from my own personal experience, is that physical activity through muscle contractions, through release, myokines, choice, if we can get people to sustain movement, because remember this, and I mentioned this to you last night, was that if you looked at human civilization and you put it in an 8-hour bracket, right, all of the Homo sapiens all the way, millions of years in an 8-hour break, all the problems that we have now, meaning that physical inactivity now is the fourth biggest killer in non-communicable diseases, happened in the last 30 seconds of 8 hours. So what did we do for 7 hours, 59 minutes and 30 seconds? We moved. We did 10,000 steps a day. We did all things. We contracted everything. Once we stop doing that, then we get this mountain of problems that we have. And mental health in particular, because the WHO now is saying that depression, anxiety, dementia, all those sort of things now are eating up the national healthcare budget more than anything else. Because people now after COVID, and I've never spoken about this, only in the last few months. So what's happening now is that people are happy to come out there and say, yeah, this happened to me, this happened here. You know, we've got to find something to do it. And the only thing we have that's affordable, sustainable, can reach, it's accessible, is movement. So what are we going to do? Exercise is medicine model is good, and we should do it, but it doesn't appeal to the majority of people. So, right.
So you're,
when
you're...
you gave me the chance to do it, I thought, man, I'm in this, boots and all.
And we are so happy. I keep saying this. We're so, so blessed to have you. So your biggest message of the day is that every movement counts.
That's what it is, Lynn. Yeah. No matter how much, how little, how long, how short, what you do, who you do it with, or where you do it, you just keep those muscles moving. That's the key to it all.
Right. So of course we've overrun. Of course we have. But does anybody have any questions for Paul before he goes to bed? Because he likes to go to bed. It's now, what time is it now? 25. What time is it? About 20.
That's 20. About 20 to 8.
20 to 8.
In the night. Yeah.
And we've got any questions that you can think of right now. You can always send them to me by email and I'll get them to Paul anyway.
Absolutely.
But if anybody's got any questions, right, burning questions right here, right now, while we've got him, please let yourselves be known. Now, is that a good or a bad thing? Oh. Graham, you got out. Oh, good lad. Go on.
Don't ask me something I don't know.
Hiya, Paul. Nice to meet you. I'm Graham.
Hey, Graham. Nice to meet you.
Really enjoyed this. I've been sitting here just listening, learning so much from you. And I totally agree. I think if we had one measurement that everybody uses and everyone applies, it would make so much sense. So I just want to say I'm certainly fully behind everything you're trying to do. I think it's fantastic. Paul, I just want to ask you a question. In the UK at the moment, there seems to be a lot of conversation. I find it I don't know why, but it's quite a distraction from getting on with what we're supposed to be doing. And it's all around the language we use. Do we use the word leisure? Is the word fitness off-putting? Should it be active? All of this. You use the word which I think probably sums up everything that all of those other words lean towards, and that's well-being.
Yep.
Do you have any particular thoughts on, you know, I know you touched on the fact that there's psychologists and there's all sorts of things, and really, if we kept it simple, more people would join in, wouldn't they, and use METs, etc. But what are your thoughts on the sort of language we use? Because you mentioned, sorry to go on, but you mentioned your pals at the prostate cancer group, and yeah, you know, many of them just fell off the bus, kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on that? Does it make a big difference?
Mate, I think it makes a huge difference. I think the days of, and again, you know, please don't get angry when I say this, I think the days of fitness and well-being being together, I think are gone. Fitness now, it's certainly in Australia, is still looking good, and it's still losing weight. You know, I've been trying to tell people for years and years, and Jane and Teresa will bear testimony to this as well as Rach, that sedentary lifestyle is killing us, but no one wants to know about it. Because they're not educated in it. And the thing with my message is that we need to reframe the words. Well-being, I love well-being. Well-being is a good thing. Like physical activity and well-being, that's what I talk about. I don't talk about exercise and I don't talk about fitness, because if I say those two words, people, and I've asked them, they immediately think punishment. They immediately think too hard. They immediately think someone telling them what to do. And I think the time has come where there has to be, and I did this myself, I did the Hippocrates thing, you know, heal thyself. At some stage, you have to take responsibility for it. And if it's manageable and it's accessible and you can still monitor it, you're more likely to do it, then you've got to go to a place, you've got to go at a time, you've got to do a certain class. And that's not to denigrate any of that, because I go to the gym every day of the week, you know, I love it. I wouldn't do anything else, but that's me. Most of my mates, hey, you know, they won't do it. They don't like it at all. And my prostate mates, you know, we do other things now. They come over and we work in the garden. You know, that's their workout. You know, as long as they get their minutes up, they don't care. So I think we've got to try and educate people. And that's what I was hoping with my 10 points and my reframing the message. Like, one of the things that I'm really interested in is this thing called VILPA. I don't know whether you've ever heard of it. Vigorous Intermittent Lifestyle Physical Activity. And the researchers from the University of Sydney have really hit on this, and I actually love it, because a lot of the WHO information has come from a questionnaire. So people fill out the questionnaire. We know that when you fill out a questionnaire about exercise, you always tell people you do more of it. But when you fill out a questionnaire about diet, you always tell people you eat less of it. Mm-hmm. So it's not the greatest way to measure anything. So what they did is they've got this massive database. I think it's the biobank database. Never actually looked at how much vigorous exercise do you need to do to reduce significantly your mortality risk, cardiovascular risk, and cancer. And you know what the answer is? 4.4 minutes a day, broken up over a 24-hour period, which makes up, if you do it, you don't need to do any more than 52 minutes of vigorous activity a week. Now, WHO says 75 to 150. Why? Because a lot of that is measured through questionnaires, so people still aren't telling the truth. So imagine this. Everything I see in well-being rather than fitness is based on risk management. If I do a little bit, then I'll get a little bit of a reduction. If I do a little bit more, I'll get a little bit more of a reduction. If I do 2,000 MET minutes, I'll get a massive reduction. In prostate cancer, I mean, I'm clear it now, so I'm really lucky, but I could do 500 MET minutes and that's contributing to it. 5%, 6%. If I do 1,000 MET minutes, 7.5%. If I do 1,500 minutes, 12%. If I do 2,000 MET minutes, 25%. That's my choice.
Yeah.
So every little bit counts, you know, and that's why I love this VILPA. And I love the fact that VO2 maxes, you only need to go from poor to not so poor to reduce your mortality risk by 15%. You don't need to do a lot. But who knows this information? Who teaches it? No one does. We go back to what we've known, tried and trusted. And I did it for 38 years. So I'm one of the ones that brought it forward. Now I'm saying, let's rethink things. But well-being, Graham, well-being, mate, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Graham. Laura's just put a couple of points in the chat there. I know we're going to have to wrap this and we may have to come back. But she's just basically saying we need a great, but we need a lot more education around it. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Including the equipment manufacturers, because not all of them have it. You know, they not all of them have that.
No,
so,
not all of them do. No, that's
no,
true. Some
so,
do.
You know, that's something that probably we can kind of push out there too.
Well, the other thing, just sorry to interrupt with that, Lee. One of the things that you'll find is that the equipment manufacturer do have METs. Excuse me, they have a thing called an absolute MET. So if you get on the treadmill and run at 5 kilometers an hour, 6 METs. I get on the treadmill, run at 5 kilometers an hour, 6 METs. It's not personalized. They're absolute METs.
Oh gosh,
so
right.
what we have to do is those absolute METs that, Rach knows, she's played, she knows more about this calculations than I do. We can, through using, heart, using height, weight, et cetera, we can actually tailor that to something that's specific for you. So you get on the treadmill and you run at 5 kilometers an hour, 6.5 METs. That's for you. I get on the same treadmill, run the same pace, 5 kilometers an hour, 4.3 METs. How good's that? Now, yours is yours and mine is mine. We're not all, being shopped together. It's much more specific.
Brilliant. Paul,
I mean,
I know we could go, I know we could go on and on and on. And I, you know, probably most people will stay on. But I know I've got to really pull this together. I will forward on anything in the chat to you. And we will,
absolutely.
Anybody that wants to kind of carry on the conversation with ourselves at MH1 and what we can do to actually push all this in a more positive way, obviously we're 100% in. You are amazing. I think we're going to have you back. I honestly think we're going to have you back. We have got with our friends at FitPro, we've got Jane and Teresa here. We have actually got a really special offer on your course, that CPD course that is on our platform. So I put that's also in the chat. The link's in the chat. It's a massive reduction. It's almost half price. So if anybody wants to, especially the fitnessy type people, I know we're not supposed to be using the F word, but if you want to know a little bit more in, sort of in depth about all this, then maybe that's a course that you'd like to go on. There's lots of stuff on there, but maybe for now, have a look at that. Please, if you've enjoyed today, please share it on your socials and tag us in. And we're going to follow on the next Zoom chat that we do with Dr. Chris Loxley, which is going to really segue very, very nicely into what we've been talking today. And he's our consumer behavior specialist. So there's going to be more about the sort of human behavior side of this coming through in the next 6 weeks or so. So look out for that, please. Thank you. Thank you once again, Paul. Thank you to our support partners, FitPro, LFX, Referral, for joining us today. Paula and I are blown away. Our heads are actually going round like a Dalek that's gone out of control at the moment with all the exciting things that are going to come out of this. But thank you for your time. Thank you, and do get in touch if you need anything else. I can email the links out to